chose this morning is taken from the end of the Gospel of Matthew. We've kind of skipped ahead to after Jesus' resurrection. And this particular scripture is called the Great Commission. We all know more what the Great Commandment is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We don't talk as much about the Great Commission, which is just as, if not more important. So taken from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples, that is without Judas, went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." A word from our Holy Scripture. How is your relationship with Jesus? Anybody ever ask you that? How is your relationship with Jesus? Do we even think about it during the week? Several years ago in the mid-90s, I was given one of the greatest gifts of my life. I still consider it one of the greatest gifts of my life, a mentor. Actually, a disciple maker. My colleagues in ministry had been meeting with a man from an organization called Man-to-Man Discipleship. And this man personally met individually with men to help them to grow in their faith. Because I had seen the effect this relationship had on my colleagues, I too asked if there was somebody who would mentor, disciple me. And even though it was a man-to-man organization, they found someone who agreed, and so I too could be discipled. I'll never forget her impact on my life. Every other week we would get together and she would teach me, question me, support me, and challenge me to grow in my faith. And she would hold me accountable to my relationship with Jesus. And I can tell you there's never been a time in my life where it has grown more exponentially than that period in my life when somebody took on mentoring me. It was intentional, it was structured, and it was intimate. I was listened to, I was affirmed, and I was challenged. These kinds of relationships can only be done when we build these intimate relationships where someone of faith invests their lives in someone else. At their time, actually, I couldn't find a mentoring program for women. They were using a manual that they were using for the men for me because they didn't have something else. So one day in 1998, I was meeting with a dear friend who was quite wise and she had done a lot of mentoring herself. And I happened to mention that I didn't know of any adequate material for mentoring women that I knew of or could find. The men had a manual, the women didn't. And so in a very few moments, we had determined that we would write a mentorship manual for women. So we did, and we called it Journey of the Heart, because we thought when we did this with women, it would be a journey that connected women's heart with Jesus. And that began one of the greatest journeys of my life, and without a doubt for me, the best work that I have done in my life. After the manual was done, I approached the board of the Man-to-Man Discipleship Program, who only had one employee at the time, it was a very small organization, and asked them if they would change their name to One-to-One Discipleship and take me on as an employee, which they very graciously did to my great joy. So I cut my full-time job to half-time, and I cut my salary down, and I set out to disciple women one-on-one in whatever church they came to me. United to evangelical churches, to the Alliance Church. And it was probably the most fulfilling, productive, and meaningful work I have ever done. because I could watch people grow in that time frame, and I could watch their lives change. And the great thing about it was, when you invest that much time in somebody else, they will invest it in somebody else as well. And they went on, most of them, to mentor somebody else. Someone in Vancouver is still using that material to disciple other women. I would have continued doing that, except I had to raise my own funds, and I'm not good at that for my own salary. And my partner got ill, and so they closed down the organization, and I went back to full-time ministry. Probably the greatest gift we will ever give to someone else is our wisdom, our knowledge, and our undivided attention to help them grow. This is how Jesus started a movement. Individual attention, one-on-one. On Friday, I heard a story from Brian and Shannon about the kids' ministry that I wanted to share with you today. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they meet here to make sandwiches for the kids' ministry, and there is a church in town that sends some kids to help out with the program. Some of you might know some of them. But last year, a young and fairly insecure, broken young woman had come to help out with the lunches for a while. And for a long time, they kind of had to tell her what to do, or she wouldn't do anything. She would get down her job and sort of wait until she was told the next thing to do. And I think she probably wasn't quite sure how to fit in with a crew of mostly retired folk. Eventually, as she was accepted and empowered to take on some responsibility and authority, she began to come out of her shell and started taking on some leadership. When another person would come along to do a job, she'd help them to do it. Then she'd move on and ask if anybody else needed any help. And when Shannon asked her what she wanted to do when she graduated, which would be very soon, she said she didn't know. So Shannon sat down and talked to her and said, "Have you thought about a career in the healthcare field?" She said no, she hadn't really thought about too much. Her life had been fairly difficult. But the crew could see this young woman blossom in this environment of friendly, caring folks. It's all it took. She's not helping anymore, but when Shannon went and talked to the principal said that that young woman came out of her shell and did things we couldn't even imagine. Just because she had been part of the program. You never know what you're doing when you come to make sandwiches here. They asked the principal what this young woman was doing, and indeed, she had made a decision and was applying to go into training for a healthcare profession. Relationships make a difference. Caring, supportive, understanding relationships. I visited one of the social workers at the Family Resource Center this week because I was dropping off at that resource center some of the gift cards that you had given at Christmas, because they give them out just on an emergency basis. And I also got some on-demand tickets for the buses, because they'd got a lot of people who were walking this week to Family Resource Center. People ask me at DeWin, so if you don't know the Family Resource Center, there are two social workers that work there who are kind of a hub for referring people out for needs. In fact, both Julie and Joanne have both worked in the Family Resource Center. They do amazing work. But Laura, who is one of the social workers there, told me they had served over 4,000 people in 2019. They figure they serve about 15% of Okotoks at the Family Resource Center. And they're only expecting it to get busier this year. People only go there when they feel they have no support or few resources of their own, which is what happened a few weeks ago when that same social worker called me to help, to ask to help with a family that had had to leave their home and had nowhere to go. A mom with three young children, they happened to be an immigrant family who had no support system, so they were on their own, and it was a Friday night. The mom had been a lawyer in her own country, but here she was working in a fast food place, and she'd had to leave that job to look after her kids, but she had no family here and no support system. So with your generosity through the Benevolent Fund, we were able to put her up in a hotel with her family for 3 nights until the Monday morning when they could access other help. The social worker was desperate because when she phoned the three shelters, they were full, and all they could say is, "We're full, we can't take her." And that's it. Relationships matter a lot. Our relationships make us. And when people do not have places to go or people they can go to, they become very hardened and very broken very fast. Lives change when people are heard and new things are learned. When we are challenged to think and grow. And when someone says that our lives are important enough to invest in. When hearts and minds are tended to and someone genuinely cares, we gradually shift toward more love, more compassion, more justice, and more hope. When people invest in lives. The opposite is also true, though. When we don't have relationships, when no one seems to care, when we're not listened to, we will do all kinds of things to get attention. And if people aren't cared for, at the very least, their hearts become hardened and they don't care about themselves or others. But at worst, they become desperate and do all kinds of things to numb their pain or even to take it away. These days, as one of my professors used to say, we are stuck in the thick of thin things. Too many words, too many distractions, too much noise, and not enough substance. If you want a life of substance, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, as we said last week, and love God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. Jesus says, feed the hungry, visit the sick and those who are imprisoned, clothe the naked. Let go of what you're so tightly trying to control or cling to and follow him. Follow Jesus. And finally, Jesus said, make disciples. Share your life, your faith, your knowledge with others. It doesn't have to be formal or religious even or programmed. Our faith is best shared when we're in meaningful relationships and we model what we believe. Jesus didn't say, build buildings, pay your staff, or meet in large groups to worship, or even offer multiple programs, or read a lot of religious books. Jesus says to love God, love each other, and make disciples. The art of making relationships is slowly eroding. And our sense of what really matters in the church and perhaps in the world is slowly eroding. We need to feel that our lives matter, and perhaps the only way they really matter is when we make a significant difference in somebody else's life. Our lives don't feel like they matter that much if all we're thinking about is ourselves, or we reduce our lives to the latest gadget or time-wasting, mind-numbing, even soul-destroying distractions. And let's not pretend that it's only the youth doing this. We do it just as much. We've just done it with other technologies or with other substances. And it's become an epidemic. People going home to sit and vegetate and engage in some distraction or another, often just to get away from their real lives. Jesus says to go into the world and make disciples. That was his last command. We can do all kinds of good stuff in the church, and we do. We also need to be more deliberate about making disciples. Intentional relationships that help people to learn and thrive. Relationships that help people to grow in wisdom, faith, and truth. Relationships that help people to love Jesus more and that hold people accountable to their own journey of growth and learning. And it takes constant attention. I don't think I've ever grown so much in my life as when I've had someone in my life who is willing to invest in my faith and growth. Our theme this month is who are we in Christ? Who we are in Christ. We are followers of Jesus called to make disciples. The church is and will experience serious consequences for not taking seriously its responsibility to make disciples. If we are committed wholeheartedly to being disciples of Jesus and to helping others to follow Jesus, we will make disciples. And if we don't, we become just another service club with volunteers doing some very good things, but not the best thing for our future and for the future of Christianity. So I ask again, how is your relationship with Jesus? And how are we helping others to develop theirs? Jesus says, go out and make disciples. How well are we doing with that? Let's spend some time now in reflection and prayer.